My name's Josh Snyder, and you're listening to Thoughtful Discussions, and I am here with...
I'm Adam Sorma.
And we had Adam on the podcast back in 2018, we're guessing. Maybe 2019. He was one of the first, probably within the first 30 episodes, I'd say. And so if you want to scroll all the way down and try to find him there, it will be really cool to listen to everything that was going on then. And so normally I would go to some sort of like past of, you know, what's been going on. But from here, you know, if we can catch us up to speed, if anyone wants to listen to what happened earlier than that, then you can go back and listen to that older episode. And we'll try to put that in the notes below. But if you can tell me a little bit between kind of then and now, I know we've had a lot of things happen with COVID and, you know, there's so many changes. COVID is just one reference point. There's a million other things.
Sure. Yeah. It's good to be back, Josh. I, you know, have a lot of mutual admiration. I think that, you know, it's wild to think back pre-COVID, we sat down and did this recording, around late 18, early 19. But yeah, all that's changed is, you know, the world shut down and then the world turned back on. The biggest thing in my life would be that I helped start a brewery that's in Bloomfield. It's called Trace, where I'm the head of marketing. And to be honest with you, that's been like pretty much the bulk of like big career moves. I now live in Friendship. I have a small moped. I bought a car. I have a small dog that I share. I think that, the biggest thing has been the brewery opening in Bloomfield at the end of 2020.
Gotcha.
And then taking it from like an idea to like a full-time thing. Gotcha. Because when we last chatted, man, I was like freelancing and doing social and marketing and,
right.
and other stuff. And now I'm sort of just at like one gig.
Right. So it's doing, so all of those things kind of prefaced what you're doing now in a way.
Totally. Yeah. I would say that's the best way to put it. It definitely was like a steady crescendo build up to like the role that I'm in now,
right.
which is just marketing at one brewery.
Place.
Yeah. Right. One place.
That's super interesting because something that's come up on past episodes is that we talk about each thing that you're going through being like a building block onto the next. And, you know, what, like, I don't believe that you're just like on your way or you're heading in the right direction. A lot of people will say, like, I think you are exactly where you're supposed to be at every moment. And it's super powerful thing for me to be able to believe in that and know that even when you're going through hard things or when you're going through something where you're not quite sure why you ended up in that situation and whatever. Mm-hmm. There's always like, and you, sometimes it's immediate and sometimes it's a year, 5 years, 10 years, whatever that, or you might not even ever recognize it, but there is definitely a reason why we go through each thing we do. And it's always to prepare us for the next thing. So, I'm happy that you kind of started with that. And so when you guys opened, what did you open? Was COVID like, was the shutdown happening as it was opening or did it, you open then the shutdown? Like how did that work out?
That's a good question. Yeah. So it basically it all started when I lived in Lawrenceville and you were like basically like a neighbor. My neighbor two blocks over, I lived at 45th and Butler. Mm. My neighbor on 43rd and Butler was Dave. Dave is the owner of Trace.
Gotcha.
He and I began talking about, you know, this project to think about opening a brewery together. He has some experience in beer and he owns a brewery in Massachusetts called Remnant. So that's our sister brewery. And with his wife being from the area and them moving to Pittsburgh, he was like, well, what if I could open a second brewery here and just do both and just kind of fly between Boston and Pittsburgh.
Amazing.
So we began talking about the project pretty much when you and I were recording last time in middle of early 2019.
Okay.
At the sort of, you know, beginning of 2020, I guess March of 20, when COVID hit, I was already in sort of like discussion with Dave to, you know, transition into just doing marketing for the brewery.
Gotcha.
So in June of 20, we made it official where I began to moonlight the project. which was Trace. Mm-hmm. But basically just as a month-to-month contractor, you know, I wasn't like full-time. I didn't quit my day job. I stayed at very local, and I began to help Dave come up with a plan for the website and the marketing and the social. But all this is happening during COVID.
Right.
Then in, you know, September of 20, they began brewing beer.
Okay.
It was all going into cans. So we were canning a ton of beer and, you know, the whole time I'm just running the social, but like kind of as a ghostwriter, like no one really knew.
Yeah.
Then in December of 20, so it's still COVID, they open their doors, but it's all takeout only. You just throw on your mask, walk in, buy to-go beer, take it as carry out. And then in January of 20, I quit my day job. Mm. And in, sorry, 21. And then in February of 21, I officially joined Trace. Gotcha. So it was sort of like, to answer your question, it was like COVID was full on happening. Mm-hmm. So we knew we couldn't like have a bar, have a party, have a grand opening. None of that happened. It was just all takeout.
Yeah.
And then in spring of 21, we like kind of more properly opened. Mm. But we call that our anniversary.
Got it. And that highlights an important dynamic that changed, I think, because you couldn't have people in there. So for people to capture like what you were doing, kind of your vibe and what everyone, and especially because you didn't have as many people like that you were catering to on like a in front of you kind of basis. I think all of us business owners went through something where we were all very active on social media, very, you know, pushing. But also if it wasn't like it had to be spot on with the like the message had to fit with what you were doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So tell me a little bit about how you were able to kind of catch what Trace was. You can tell me a little bit more about Trace for people that have never been there or never heard of it, like what it stands for. I know it's a fairly I think it's a great, I would say, organization, but I know it's a business. But the things that it's doing, I'm proud of having that in my city. And then just start with that, and then we'll go from there.
Sure. I think that you're right. I think that a lot of folks turned to digital. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of my friends who, you know, DJ were live streaming sets.
Absolutely.
A lot of my friends who own bars were selling takeout drinks to go with those live sets, like Adam at Goldmark, and, you know, hosting these sort of like, no one's in here, but I'm going to DJ and live stream it. I think that for Trace, what I tried to do is come up with like a bit of a roadmap or a method to tell our story of who we were without the identity of drag brunch or hip hop parties or any of that, because none of that was happening.
Right.
So when I think about that era, basically I tried to celebrate the neighborhood, you know, really call out iconic things in Bloomfield that were there before we were.
Yeah.
You know, work with our photographer, Julie and Ryan, and to walk around and to tell those stories of some of those existing businesses. Honestly, tell the story of our staff, you know, where they came from. Katie coming from Spirit, you know, Zach coming from Strange Roots, Dave coming from Massachusetts. Like, I think that we were trying to find ways to just tell any compelling story without really having the full guest experience of like you and your kid and your dog come to the brewery for like a beer. That's like every brewery now, you know.
Right.
But at that era, I just tried to follow this kind of method of like, here are the four or five things that we can talk about.
Mm.
What we can't really do is like serve you a beer over the bar, because there's just nothing was going into draft. Everything was just prepackaged.
100%.
So yeah, the only way to really drum it up was to try to be a good neighbor and try to be a good partner to the neighborhood and to the other breweries who suffered a loss in sales. We had no benchmark. You know, if you're a brewery, like say, like, I don't know, Gristhouse or Dancing Gnome, suddenly you're like, holy cow, like the world's shut down. We can't offer you bar service.
Right.
Everything's going to cans. That's all we knew off the bat.
Yeah.
Us opening for bar service was just like this baby step graduating up from cans to go.
Amazing. Because so many of these breweries are doing barrels first, and then cans way later. Exactly.
And we were the reverse. Right. We were the reverse of a lot of that. I'm sure at some point it'll be a case study.
Yeah.
That like we opened during a global pandemic.
Right.
And, you know, made it.
Right.
But we had to do all those first brands
in cans. So I'm curious from the owner's perspective that he had his other brewery. So he was basically going through those same things that you were talking about, these other breweries. He was going through those things back at home though.
Totally.
Essentially. So he's feeling it one way here and kind of having to deal with that as a new brewery. And even if it's something where if I had a business in one place and thought of had a business in another state, like I would, you understand like the gist of it to a point where you can, you know what to expect in some ways, but if they're both that's such a different operation. And like you might own it, but like there's someone, you have brewers, you have the staff, like the whole structure of it. You can't just take your experience and just give that to everyone. You have to grow into that. So he was probably in living two different worlds.
Totally.
Completely, having to kind of manage both of them. So that's amazing to think about. And hats off to him for getting there.
Like our sister brewery, Remnant, they're in Somerville, Massachusetts.
Okay.
They went from open and fully open, grand opening, beautiful vibe. They're part of a market called Bow Market, sort of almost, if you think about like a galley concept, it's like a big area like a food partner, other shops and boutiques. And then Remnant is the brewery within Bow Market.
Yeah.
They went from being fully open to like fully shut down to then just trying to claw back to like those numbers.
Yeah.
And I think that for Dave, that was like, wow, this is like difficult.
Mm.
Trace was just like building on nothing. Like we didn't have anything and we open our doors once we passed the health department stuff, but it's still COVID. No one's vaccinated yet. So we're not doing bar service.
Right.
So anything that we could accomplish was like a win because we were just trying to get started.
Amazing. So is there anything that, and I know that this is like a secondhand question, is there anything you know of that he took from Trace and was like, oh, we need to implement this over here at the other bar?
Oh, good question. I would say that's definitely more like post-pandemic. Like, it's interesting because like one of the things that I think is really interesting is that my job, which is just like head of marketing at Trace, that was roped into another role at Remnant. So like the GM at Trace is Katie, and she's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
The GM at Remnant is Britt, and she's awesome too.
Yeah.
Britt did like a lot. Like she did like basically both jobs with like banging out the GM, taproom managing, bar managing, ordering, inventory, staffing, and marketing. At Trace in Pittsburgh, we split the two roles to be like, I own the marketing and Katie owns the tap room, and the staffing.
Right.
So the difference being Remnant now has marketing. Remnant now has like a proper sort of like scope roles for like content, events, everything that they do. And they do like great beer and we love them. But I think that the learnings from Trace were, it might not be a bad idea to actually disaggregate those roles.
Yeah.
Because like one person taking on that much is a lot.
Correct.
I think that we learned a lot from, or I guess Dave learned a lot from opening a second spot.
Yeah.
And when I was like, this is what I do well. Mm-hmm. So like, let me just do that. Like I've never run a bar program. Right. I've never, staffed up in a front of house. Like,
and there's this, that's so important to be able to say no. And like, it would have been easier on the front end to just be like, I can try to do that and like fumble your way through it. But it would have been an awful experience for you. It could have taken that, especially in that such a vulnerable stage of the business being like where it was at. Like, even if you were like, even if you had the opportunity to say, I'll do both those things, or if Katie said, I'll do it. Like, and it didn't play out the way that it did, like that could have ended. It could have not worked out.
Yeah, right.
So like that, it's so important to surround yourself with people that will just are self-aware enough to know what they are good at and what they're not, but also that are, I don't know if it's a self-respect type thing or what, but like it is really hard to say no to certain things. And that's something that I've grown in a lot over the, I would say probably 5 years, but even more. I mean, I feel like I'm getting better at it every day, but
It's delegating and accountability.
Absolutely. But it's powerful though too, because if you try to think about all the other ways that it could have been, and any of the messed up orders I've had, mistakes I've made, things like that, it's probably stuff that I should have said no to in the first place and just didn't. For whatever reason, didn't pull the plug on it. I thought I could do it. I thought I could handle it or whatever. And learning that, going through that, is there a time where like that kind of clicked for you, where you like, have you ever tried to wear too many hats and then like it didn't work out and you realize like a real life experience, like this isn't for me kind of
thing? Yeah, I mean, probably when we hired Brooke, because like we thankfully, you know, we're doing well enough that I could hire a second marketing person.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
And that it just came about from the things you said: stress, feeling overworked, feeling that like there was too much on my plate. In the middle of 22, about a year ago, actually exactly a year ago, I worked on this pretty large project where we threw a beer festival with a brewery called Cinderlands, and they're also here in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And it was a joint collaborative effort. It was a lot of work, and they did a ton of work, and we did a ton of work. But the thing was, we ran that festival in conjunction with our day jobs, which was our home-based breweries. So they still ran Cinderlands, and we still ran Trace. And dude, I kid you not, I worked, you know, 80, 90 hours a week for probably 10 to 12 weeks in a row, keeping up with like trying to throw a festival the right way.
Yeah.
And after that ended, so now we're looking at like August of 22, I jump back to my like day job, which is my regular role. And I'm looking at what we have going on. And the biggest pinch point was, you know, we have guests who want to bring parties of 10, 20, 30 people in and do like a private experience. Yeah. And we just have no method to like capture and catch that in a way that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So we started talking to folks who build software for that. We started looking at, you know, bringing someone else on to help me. Mm. If I think about our marketing as like front end, back end, I'm pretty comfortable taking care of the front end with like a lot of the social, you know, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, things like that. Mm. But the back end of making sure that like things actually line up on the website, the taproom menu is updated and aligned, the events calendar, the food truck calendar, that was where I was dropping the ball. Things were falling behind.
Yeah.
So that sort of struggle was like me telling Dave, we need to carve out some budget to hire a second person.
Yeah.
And I think I know who I want to hire. And it was Brooke. And so when she came on full time in basically end of September, early October 22, she now owns a lot of that. Mm. And I see her as like a direct lateral. Initially, I was like, oh, I guess I'm your boss. But then I saw how good she was and how talented and how hard she works.
Yeah.
And it was like, no, I'm not your boss. Like we're like lateral, because we're like left hand, right hand, left brain, right brain.
Got it.
We together do the marketing.
Got it. That's amazing. That's not always easy. And cheers to you for that, for sure. Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah, she's great. That was like definitely a moment where I was like, like, damn, there's so much fall through the cracks here. Like, how do we fix this?
Right, right.
And the only way was to take that, basically that bandwidth that I was like not able to handle, and get it to someone who could.
Yeah.
And that wasn't Katie. That wasn't Dave.
Right.
It wasn't like in house.
Yeah.
We had to bring someone else on.
Right.
And now that she's full time salaried, working like literally side by side with me, it's really nice to have her skill set. She came from the Bronx in New York.
Nice.
And she did all the e-commerce for a brewery called the Bronx Brewery.
Amazing.
And so she literally has that exact knowledge and skill set that I was like basically like fumbling, you know.
Yeah That's awesome that you were able to find someone to come in and do that. And you said, so you knew her already? You knew her in advance?
No, it was just basically she had she got married, and they her and her husband were looking to move to Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. This is her hometown. And the way it came about was she was super smart, and she emailed her resume to the Brewers Guild, and the Brewers Guild touches all 50 breweries in the city.
Yeah,
so the director, Mike, he sent out an email one day. It was like, hey, just so all of you breweries know, there's this girl moving to Pittsburgh. Her name is Brooke. She does like marketing. You know, she's looking for a job. If anyone's interested, you know, if not, no biggie. And he just kind of circulated it. And I saw that email, and I responded like literally immediately. Hey, I was like, hey, I would love to chat with her.
Yeah.
So we had a beer, and I was like, cool, you're great. Now you got to meet my team.
Right.
And we're gonna figure out a way to make this happen.
Amazing. And so when you came on and it was like a, you know, you were on the outside, and then you developed more and more. You were part-time, and then you made it full-time. And I see that often. My brother was, he's an entrepreneur as well. He does welding. Check out johnnysweld.com. And he was working with this supplier. They make welding cups. It's like a piece that goes on the machine. And first he's just kind of reaching out to him, talking to him. He gets on their team. And so now he's one of like the social media, you know, he posts and whatever, but not actually for them, just as a kind of a rep. And then he gets on there and the owner starts giving him a little bit of like, you know, hey, do you want to do this for me? Do you want to do that? And then they went, so he's doing this for probably like a year. And then the owner, they went on vacation for a month and they're like, hey, will you do all of it while I'm gone? And then he did. And then so it went from like, you know, a few hundred bucks to it's like way more than like an actual, you know, at least a part-time job, you know, in a short amount of time. And then he's able to, now he's, you know, excelled in that. And I know like, you know, Garrett kind of has done the same thing with getting in, you know, kind of get your foot in the door, you do something. And like, if you really like it, if you really want to be doing it, just getting in and showing the people that you want to work with, like what you can do, mm-hmm. it, like, I'm saying this as an encouragement to people that are listening. Shoot your shot, like reach out to people that you see, you know, if you see that you could fill a need or see a gap and that you're like, ooh, I'm good at this thing, I would like to do this. There's definitely room. And I mean, if people say no, it's not a big deal. Like at least they know that you're out there. But there's so much like spam and stuff that as a business owner, you're trying to sift through and like make sure if it's someone that actually cares about it, they're local, they like the thing, there's a lot out there that you can do. Mm-hmm. So just encouraging people that are listening, I think that's amazing.
Yeah. I literally went from outside, basically I would invoice Dave month to month, to like part-time,
right,
to like picking up shifts behind the bar, bartending, to like full-time, to then like partner, you know. But I had to like basically kind of prove my worth, I guess, and like, well, show that I could do it. But I also really, I care a ton about it.
Yeah. So, I mean, I have, out of the people that have worked for me as well, like, I mean, and I don't have any instances right here in the moment, but I'm sure that I've done this in the past as well. But when people have worked for me, I'll usually start them kind of like part-time or, you know, once or twice a week and kind of let it grow from there. And it either tapers off and they don't end up doing it, or they, you know, they do it more and more and more. So it's definitely a natural kind of thing, especially for like startup kind of nice startup businesses, where when I say startup, people think of like big.coms or, you know, tech companies. I mean like small business startups, when you're starting out, you maybe have 1, 2, 3 people, mm-hmm. and then you're building on top of there and kind of seeing where it goes. There's so many different directions it can go. There's never a total roadmap. Like, oh, you got to hire 5 people a year and do, you know, it's all, you're winging it 100%. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you learn from it and you pivot.
Absolutely.
You know, and for us, it was sort of constant because opening during COVID, mm-hmm. but yeah, man, I mean, it was definitely like, I was very open and willing to take on stuff outside the marketing scope.
Yeah.
Because I care enough about it that I want to see it do well.
Right.
And then when the time is right and I can really kind of hone in on my skill set, then I could definitely like flex on that and get that going the right way.
Right.
But I knew in the early days that like I would do pretty much whatever it took until we got to a place where I could sort of hunker down and zone in on like the part of my role that like I really do well, you know?
Right, right. Let me take a minute and ask about these beers. Tell me what's going on here.
Totally. Yeah. I brought a few just for fun and for the show.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. We're right now, I know we're sitting down recording this in August of 23. So this week there's a large beer festival called Barrel and Flow.
Yeah.
It's America's premier sort of like beer festival. It also happens to be a beer festival that celebrates people of color, mm-hmm. and it's super cool. It's in Pittsburgh every year. This is our collaboration beer for Barrel and Flow called New Futures. It's pretty cool that like the label was designed by Honey, DJ and graphic designer locally here in Pittsburgh. The two collaborative entities that we brewed with are two locals out of Philadelphia and Windy Bridges, who's out of Pittsburgh but from Chicago. And I brought that along. It's pretty fun. I'm sure that as listeners listen to this episode, the beer might not exist because that's pretty short term, but I brought it for fun. And then I brought a bottle of our Fooder Saison, which is the Saison that we age in an American white oak fooder, which is a tall oak vessel. And then I also brought some beer that's just from other breweries.
Yeah.
Just because I wanted to drink through it tonight. So there's also some stuff from Cinderlands.
Oh, nice. Cool. So if you're listening, whether you're listening right when this episode is posted or years later, I'm sure they would appreciate you stopping by. Trace, let them know you heard the episode of Thoughtful Discussions and wanted to come taste it. And definitely stop by Barrel and Flow. Put it on your calendar whenever it's coming up next, because it's definitely a fun event to attend and do whatever you can to try to be a part of it.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's every August. So I know that as listeners, get this episode in their inbox and then they listen to it, just put a little flag, put a little hat in your calendar for August 24. I'm sitting here with Josh right now and we're getting ready to do the festival this weekend.
Yeah.
But every August it happens. And it's not just beer. It's beer, it's cider, it's wine, it's art, it's food. It's really anything that black people and people of color, touch and collaborate with to throw this festival in the Strip District. And it attracts literally a nationwide audience.
Yeah.
It's really cool to see folks that I see every year that fly in from Texas, Cali, Oregon, Vermont, like everywhere.
Right. I went to the first one before it changed its name, and it was a great event. Lots of different people. I couldn't believe how many people, breweries came from all over the country. And we did a bunch of printing for that one, and it was a fun event to kind of be a part of on from the background kind of. No matter what, all of these events, they produce so much work for businesses like mine. We'll end up doing tablecloths for vendors. We'll do art prints for artists that are going to be selling art. We'll do so every little thing you see. I mean, some events we do, we have Four Chord also coming up this weekend.
Yeah, same time.
Yeah, we do all the stage banners, which is this huge, amazing thing. As well as we did, over 1,000 posters. We did handbills and the amount of printing that goes into one thing is pretty amazing. But then Steve Pierce is going to be there. He's an artist, and we've done a bunch of printing for him. So every little thing, and we'll be there. I'm sure we'll see a few dozen customers that'll come up to us. Hey, Pittsburgh is a. It's a wonderful, kind of small town vibe, but it's not the smallest town where you're actually, so it's still a city, but it's a real wonderful feeling. I love the vibe here.
Yeah. Four Chord's going to be awesome. Have a great time.
Thank you.
Yeah. I wish I could be in two places at once.
Same here.
Yeah. Because we're going to be
the next one.
Yeah.
That's where I'd be for sure.
That's so funny that we're both going to be at separate sort of festival atmospheres this weekend.
Right. Yeah. The summer's wild. I think, before COVID, I think we had about 5 festivals that we did all the printing for.
Wow.
And it was a blitz over the summer. And when COVID changed things, obviously a handful of the venues are no longer in town, and some of the promoters kind of went on to do other things. So there's still room, and there's still other things that we do. We work with a lot with Zero Fossil, so anytime they have a stage that they're setting up, we'll do all the banners for that. Cross our fingers. Hopefully we get those jobs. We did a bunch for Open Streets for Bike Pittsburgh.
That was super fun.
Yeah.
That's one of my most favorite events of the year.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah,
it's beautiful.
And it's fun to see those kind of orders come in, and then also be able to see thousands of people that, and it might seem ridiculous to someone that isn't in my industry, but whether it's just a branded banner or something that's directional, it's turn here or whatever. It still means something. Like when you walk by and you're like, I made that. There's a lot of meaning behind it, and they could have just went to some online place and got it. But I think it has more heart behind it. And I think people can feel that, you know, when people are putting those kinds of things into practice. So I definitely appreciate that vibe in the town, and you know, Trace has sent us some work too, so I appreciate that.
Of course, yeah. There'll be more for sure.
Awesome, yeah. Check out pghprintship.com. So we talked a little bit about that with where we were at in. So take me back a little bit before the brewery opened, and kind of fill that gap for me with between when you were on the podcast last up until, you know, kind of like what all was going on there for you?
Yeah. I mean, basically I worked for,
Oh yeah. So when you were on the podcast last, you didn't work for Very Local yet.
No, I was just freelancing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so freelance was social media marketing though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Just making sure I tune people into that.
Totally. Yeah. It was just, I knew I wanted to do like content creation and like brand stuff.
Gotcha.
So yeah, I sort of formed a little freelance practice just as myself. Would pitch mostly like coffee shops, restaurants, bars, breweries, things like that to basically help manage their social and their day-to-day, you know, marketing.
Yeah. Shout out La Prima.
Yeah, did a lot of work for La Prima. Yeah, they're great, the coffee shop.
Gosh,
I did the work for them from like 2017 till COVID.
Yeah.
And I think that like that led to got an email one day and, you know, WTAE, the TV station, they wanted to form a digital property called Very Local where they were going to focus on food and beverage, arts and culture and events and do that in Pittsburgh as sort of like their second city, the first one being New Orleans where they were going to create this website just focused on that for young people. They found that, you know, folks who watch local news and TV were a little bit older, a little bit more in the suburbs, kind of like fading off and not really engaging with it.
Right.
So they were like, we're going to go digital. We're going to go web, social, online, and we're going to create this brand called Very Local. So I was brought on to kind of run the digital side of Very Local from basically the end of 18 until the beginning of 21 when Trace opened. And and then it was during that time that I was kind of like, well, you know I don't love corporate. I don't do well in that setting. Yeah. I didn't like how
same.
You know, it was so constraining to like creativity. And
here's your template. Go ahead and work with this.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I and you know, just like folks that I worked with just didn't understand what it meant to actually be local. You know what I mean? And so I was like, well, I think what I'm going to do is, you know, punch in, like do my work, do the best I can.
Yeah.
And you know, just keep my eyes open. Like I really, really wanted to work at a brewery.
Got it.
That's like all I wanted. And that was when the Trace opportunity came up and I was like, oh, this is my chance to actually work at a brewery. You know, that's all I wanted.
Yeah.
Was to work at one brewery.
Cool.
And I didn't know I'd be at opening one, like helping like launch one.
Right.
I would have been happily just roped into one that was already there.
Yeah.
But yeah, that when those conversations got more real from 2019 to 2020 and into 21, I was like, cool, I'm in.
Yeah. I love that. And then when you started your business originally with the working with a bunch of different, you know, companies for your social media marketing, you did something and you told me about it once where you went to your competitors and you asked them if they had any customers that kind of weren't fitting quite right with their, you know, their goals and what they wanted to be doing. And they gave you like, you know, a handful, here, take these, you know, kind of work with them and we'll pass it off. And I thought that was such a brilliant way to like start business.
Yeah.
And like you didn't have to sell to the client. You just had to sell to the person that was already kind of doing too much or maybe didn't, you know, had some customers that weren't quite what they wanted to be working on. And you were like, you know, you took the most annoying or the most, I don't know exactly what it was. That
just overflow.
Yeah. Yeah. Overflow. probably not the most annoying. That was rude. just the one, yeah, Overflow. And you were able to take that and kind of create your business out of that. And that was your, you use that to start up. And then whether you hold on to them for long term or just, you know, use them while you continue to build clientele. That's an amazing strategy.
Thanks. Yeah. Yeah. I just pitched other agencies and just said, you know, hey, I do what you do. I'm obviously a lot smaller. I'm just a party of one, but I've got a pretty solid crew of contractors that I lean on. Mm. And if I can take on your Overflow work where you're not able to keep up or they're not the right fit, or you would just happily basically take what you bill them at, keep a couple $100 every month and give me the rest, mm-hmm. and they would just get like free money. Got you it. Know?
So were there any customers that you like took on completely where you were like, they didn't even work with them anymore, or what, were you more subcontracting for them, or a little bit of both?
Oh man, it was mostly just subcontract. I mean, yeah. like I had my own clients where I would cold pitch or like yeah. cold call and land them as a social client that I could like take on, whether it was like building the brand mm-hmm. or actually banging out the day-to-day social month over month. And then some were contracted through other agencies gotcha. Wherein they had Overflow work. So I would actually invoice the other agency and they would invoice the client.
Got it.
So it was just sort of, you know, baking in like different layers.
Yeah.
I even had contractors pitch clients and then I would invoice off of them.
Right.
Too. So I was kind of going in like both directions.
Yeah.
It was a tax nightmare, but like, you know, I had one photographer who would like bill a client for the full amount
yeah.
and then give me the bulk of it and then keep their rate for yeah. photo. And then on the flip side, I had an agency yeah. that I would go through. They would bill the client and then give me all but part of it that they would keep
yeah.
as kind of like a finder's fee. Yeah, it's kind of like doing that along yeah. with like my own clients, and all of that kind of came to like basically a stop when I accepted the very local role,
right?
Because they were like, "Hey, we'll bring you on, but like just stop contracting, just stop right. taking on outside work." Yeah. And I was like, "That's fair."
Yeah, yeah, you want to be able to devote yourself to something, and yeah, and those corporate gigs, they can be a little bit. I'm sure Trace is also. Demanding. There's definitely no reason to say it wouldn't be, but the corporate stuff, they want your, they're a little bit more, I don't know how to describe it, but they want all of your attention,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah, for sure. yeah. It was just like,
yeah.
you know, yeah, I was ready to like get out of that, and but it was a good experience. It was
sure.
cool to be part of that and to,
yeah.
take where I was like hustling nonstop just to get paid yeah. to like basically a biweekly paycheck, you know?
Right.
Like that was like pretty neat to mm-hmm. do that. And then to take that and then take on another risk to open a brewery.
Yeah.
But then like give it everything I had, literally yeah. give it yeah. everything I've got to like take all that I learned, the mistakes, the, you know,
yeah.
any experiences and say, all right, here's like what I bring, what I know
yeah.
and who I know.
Right.
So I could bring on the best subcontractors and bring on like
right.
the skills that I knew I had,
yeah.
The writing and the creative and project managing.
Love it.
So like that was kind of what went into Trace when I was
yeah.
like, cool, like if I'm going to own this sort of department with like
yeah.
marketing,
yeah.
I'm going to give it the very best I've got, you know?
Love that. And the circle back with very local, one of the, I don't know if it's a podcast or show or what, but Ed and Day in the Berg is that's one of the people that put on this Barrel and Flow. So if you want to go listen to that, you can. Where can people find that?
Yeah, just on any streaming service. Yeah,
yeah.
They have a podcast called
yeah.
Drinking Partners. It's
yeah.
amazing.
Right.
That's on Spotify and Apple and all
everywhere.
The,
yeah.
Everywhere. And then they have a show, which is actually a digital show on an app called Very Local.
Mm-hmm.
And that show is called Ed and Day in the Berg.
Yeah.
Where they just pick a neighborhood and go eat and drink and explore
yeah.
and meet people in each neighborhood. And it's a cool way to tell stories.
Yeah.
I feel like that's kind of the direction that Very Local is going.
Yeah.
Like shows, you know?
They should. It sounds, if it's working for them, that's awesome.
Yeah. I think it's
yeah.
really cool. Yeah. So it's less of what I actually like did
yeah.
day to day. I was more like digital and like web.
Right.
But with Ed and Day, like recording and producing that show, I think it's super cool. I thought it was really cool that they, when they did the Bloomfield episode, they came to Trace.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's awesome.
I was like, oh, thanks, guys.
Yeah. Sweet. So tell me about any like challenges either you or the brewery kind of has kind of gone through, where you've had some sort of like growth where it was like something clicked and you're like, oh, we need to kind of like change directions. Or is there anything that kind of comes to mind there?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Like, I know I talked about like hiring Brooke was like such a win because.
I'll rephrase that. If someone came to you now and said, hey, I want to start a brewery, like, what are the things that you'd be like, oh, definitely do this and don't do this? Like, what are like.
Gosh, I almost feel like I'd be like, maybe don't, because there's so many. Oh man, I think that so there's a few things working in our favor that are very interesting, like not tied directly to the beverage, points of interest that I think play up Trace. Like one is our location.
Absolutely.
Like, so we're right in the heart of the city.
Yeah.
In a dense urban part of Bloomfield.
Right.
And our regulars and our neighbors and the folks who like actually come to Trace are able to walk, bike, and bus to the brewery and not drive.
Yeah.
So us not having any kind of parking works actually heavily in our favor.
Yeah.
It draws the right type of crowd that like we want to draw from.
Right.
The other part of it is we know that as a bit of a community space and a community hub, you know, we have to program the space. The days of unlocking the door and just selling beer are largely over.
Right.
Now, I say that, but there are breweries that are doing that and doing it really well
because
their beer is like top notch. And I think ours is really good too. But if I was giving anyone advice, like I would just say like, definitely like be a good neighbor, be a good partner, like bring on the right types of vendors and folks that you want to work with. And then if you have someone like my colleague, Katie, she's our general manager. Mm-hmm. She's constantly thinking about these communities who don't usually go to breweries, folks in the gay community, folks in the Black community, folks in the trans or queer community. We touch those communities through events. Mm-hmm. So they end up coming.
Yeah.
Maybe not for the beer or for like any element of like the craft part of the beverage, but they come for the experience, you know, and the fact that we're in the city, we're easy to access, we're always open 7 days a week with coffee and beer.
Yeah, like coffee's amazing.
Some of that stuff is definitely working in our favor.
Yeah.
And not everyone's gonna like wanna go that route. Yeah. You know, there are going to be all kinds of constraints, like financial or location or anything.
Right.
But like, you know, for us, I think that all of those things kind of, when they all kind of gel together, you have this environment in which you have this space that happens to have a brewery inside of it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's a little bit of an interesting brand storytelling for me to like let the beer sit in the back seat.
Correct.
Wherein all the other guest experience stuff kind of flows through.
Yeah.
It's not what I expected.
Right.
And it's not where I see my career going in the future, like forever. But for right now, it's exactly like the right fit.
Amazing. And you guys have another project coming up where you're working on a second location?
Yeah, we're just doing a little expansion.
Okay.
Yeah, a little
tavern. Is that going to be like a permanent thing or is it like a seasonal? Like?
So we do have a few seasonal things.
Okay.
We have a lot of stuff going on. the Aspenwall thing is a seasonal thing with Farmer Baker.
Okay.
The project that you're talking about in Uptown, that's called Echo. And is a it's going to be a full bar, coffee shop, tap room. It'll be just like Trace, but just no brewing. We're going to keep brewing in Bloomfield and then keg it, drive it over to Echo in Uptown. So it'll just be like a satellite bar.
Got it.
But it'll be open 7 days a week, pretty much once it's done, hopefully like November-ish of 23.
Got you.
That's like a very, very loose like timeline.
Got it.
But yeah, it'll be a second location.
Okay, cool. So I've seen a little bit of like some of the work that goes into that, but it hasn't been like a big like push. I don't want to ask what the social media strategy is, but I want to ask like, how do you determine like, all right, like I'm sure you have, if it's opening in November or it hopefully it will be, then I'm sure you have a kind of a draft for what October is going to look like for starting to ramp up social media presence for that. How do you, is there like something in your head where you're like if you had to explain it, like what goes into how you're going to kind of map that out? What's the map that you see when you're kind of putting all that together?
So basically about 60 days out, we're going to begin our pre-launch strategy. Yeah. And like some of the strategy that I've written involves talking a little bit about the building, the history of the building, yeah, the neighborhood, the immediate neighbors, our food partner, our coffee partner. Mm. Basically what you'll see if you follow Trace on social will be these moments where we celebrate these other touch points and elements of Trace,
yeah,
that deals specifically with Uptown.
Got it.
So when I brought on Ryan Neven is one of our photographers.
Yeah.
I brought on Ryan to take like basically a walk through the neighborhood, yeah, and just shoot photos of the other like local businesses.
Yeah.
And then I can go back through and talk to those folks,
nice,
and marry up those quotes with the creative.
Got
to
it.
Tell a story about Uptown Kitchen and Moonlit and PPG, you know, like, yeah, whatever else is up that way.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know the neighborhood that well, but like doing my best to like study it.
Yeah.
And then the second thing I did was I brought on a historian named Charles. Okay. So this dude is a historian, works at the city archives.
Nice.
He is able to pull these historical archive sort of clippings from, you know, these buildings and, mm-hmm, who's owned them and who's been there business-wise, wow, in Uptown. And I wanted to incorporate elements of his deliverable to me,
yeah,
as a function of the story of Echo. So, amazing, it's going to be some of the photography and the storytelling of like real time 2023. Some of it's going to be the historical stuff from Charles. And then the rest of it's going to be our coffee partner, Ghost, and then our food partner, which I can't like say yet, but we have one signed,
yeah,
which is super exciting. We're going to have a static food truck.
Cool.
So just like Dancing Gnome, we're going to have one food truck that just stays there, and they're going to be parked there 7 days a week.
Cool.
And they're going to bang out the food service. So we're going to incorporate their brand into our strategy.
Mm-hmm.
So that like basically September, October into November, that pre-launch phase of the first 60 days of kind of ramping up to opening of the door,
mm-hmm,
I want to make sure that people know where we are, who we are, who we touch, you know, yeah, how we tell the stories of the other businesses that are there,
yeah,
and to elevate the whole neighborhood. So it's going to be a pretty robust strategy. It's like definitely on my mind.
Yeah.
Brooke and I are working on that. She's been doing an amazing job with the website,
yeah,
with starting to kind of like bifurcate the tracebloomfield.com, wherein that incorporates both the Bloomfield spot and the Uptown spot.
Yeah.
And then on social, my decision was to keep it to Trace Brewing,
yeah,
and then just share content against each location.
Got it.
I wasn't going to like open up like a Trace Echo or like, yeah, Echo Uptown channel. That, yeah, would just disaggregate the following.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Got
I'd
it.
Rather keep the followers in one spot,
yeah,
talk about Bloomfield, talk about Uptown, and,
yeah,
incorporate,
yeah,
both into the social frequency week,
right,
over week.
I agree with that, absolutely. Very, very interesting. Who would you say is some big influences or people that you're like listening to, whether it's like podcasts or books, reading books, like what kind of, where are you getting that kind of inspiration from?
Oh man, that's a great question. I mean, gosh, I feel like there are so many brands that I,
sure,
really, really admire. You know, most recently I've really been admiring the work from, Liquid Death,
yeah,
the water
love
company.
It. Absolutely love it.
Their stuff's incredible.
Yes.
It is the best, business to consumer marketing I've seen this year,
yeah,
by far. Liquid, if you don't already follow Liquid Death, like, they're doing an incredible, they're literally marketing water in a can.
Yes.
And killing it.
Yes.
So I love what they're doing. I,
yeah,
love Permanent Hangover. Those two guys, like, they built an apparel brand on making fun of the beer industry.
Because,
like, it's funny. Like, it's,
yeah,
funny when you take a look around.
Right.
You take a step back and you look at yourself in the third person.
Yeah.
Yeah, Permanent Hangover is great. I love Liquid Death. But on the hospitality side, where I've drawn a lot of influence and inspiration has been like, you know, brands like Ace Hotel.
Yeah.
You know, we had them briefly in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And that was a moment. They definitely, yeah, elevated the hospitality game.
Yeah.
And you know, that brand for me was a bit of a turning point in my career,
mm-hmm,
when they opened here and they began to do what they did with events and coffee and bar service and all the things that they did. I was like ready to do whatever it took to like work there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now we're lucky to have some of that vibe incorporated into Trace now.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I would say Ace, I would say also like brands, pretty much any brand that like does whatever it is they do, but they're not like forcing you to buy something.
Yeah.
You
know? There's an element to all three of those things, which is like, people that are eager to do their best at something, especially when it might be perceived as hard. It's particularly thinking of like ACE, I feel like their vibe was to like not care so much about how hard it might be, but just to like, we have to go all the way and not just like no half measures.
Yeah.
And that's something I could definitely see with Trace as well, which I think the people that also go all the way appreciate, but if everyone appreciates it, including the people that, you know, could care less or they don't notice it. And I think that it's a very interesting thing to consider. And I do appreciate that about all those things that you mentioned, that kind of ties those together.
Thanks.
Yeah.
It's just like hospitality. Because if you walk into a bar mm-hmm. or a coffee shop or a hotel and you feel a certain way, that's my only goal. That is my only goal, is to make you feel good, whether that's on digital or in real life.
Right.
And that tie-in, when brands do that, like they're doing it the right way.
Yeah. I love that. I have been trying to give that in my business, social media, and just every email we write and every customer interaction we have. It's obviously a lot different. Style of business. I still feel like it's still a service industry job, even though it's more manufacturing. When you're dealing one-on-one with the customers, it can get very customer servicey real quick.
Totally. That's part of it. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That's like the unfortunate or like the chunk of my day that is just responding to DMs and emails.
Right.
It's a lot of it, dude.
And being able to do it gracefully, I think that's a huge, a big way where I have like the buck stops with me. I can't pass along to anyone else. And there's no one that's going to take care of it for me. And if I don't take care of it right away, it's going to end up being a one-star review. And you gotta stay ahead of, you know, things like that, and make sure that you're doing well, and making sure that your customers are perceiving you, and also that you're basically giving them those feelings, and especially when something goes wrong, and you're able to communicate to them and make them feel comfortable and solve those issues.
Mm-hmm.
You end up with customers for life. It's a huge thing. Something that might be like a stress point, you're worried about it. It ends up being really, really wonderful. So I like that. And one more thing. Well, I want to say a few more things, but we're going to be wrapping up in a second. It was funny that you mentioned like the small group parties, because I attended one a couple months ago.
Nice.
So
hopefully it was okay.
It was an awesome experience, and it was perfect. You guys did. It was like on a Sunday morning. Might have been a Saturday morning. I forget, but it was you know, just kind of took over the space on the side and kind of did their thing, and it was it was a great time. So, and the coffee there is delicious. Ghost coffee.
Yeah, thank you. I love those guys.
Started with Red Hawk, which is also amazing.
Yeah,
right across the street here.
Yeah, a lot of love for Red Hawk. Yeah, I love those.
They're
folks.
Great. I actually I made a connection between, because we've done printing for Red Hawk, so got some good contacts there, and then some friends of ours bought a bagel shop in Lawrenceville, and the way that they were making the coffee or whatever it was, it wasn't great. And I was like, hey, like, let me introduce these two. And I put them in an email together, and I went in, I think, 2 weeks later, and they were serving Red Hawk.
Wow.
So I was like, I did it.
That's awesome.
It's amazing. But then I did try the Ghost. And that was on that level as well. Red Hawk is the best coffee I've had in Pittsburgh. And then when I tried Ghost, I was like, okay, this is it's there as well.
So, yeah, thank you. They're both amazing. Yeah, I love, for drip, I love Red Hawk. And for espresso, I love Ghost.
Mm.
And they're in my top two, top three.
Yeah.
Every day. I love them.
Shout out to Zeke's.
I know. Gosh. I love that I wore a coffee shirt to your podcast. Yeah.
Yeah. They're not around anymore, though, are they?
No, they're in Baltimore, Maryland.
Oh, they moved.
They had two.
Okay.
And they kept Baltimore going.
Got you. All right. Fair enough. So I'm going to close with Corey couldn't be here tonight, and a lot of my listeners know who Corey is, Corey Ochai. So in his spirit, he always likes to ask, if you could talk to yourself as a child, 8, 9, 10, 15 years old, what's something that you would tell them?
Oh, boy. Well, I would probably tell them to try to talk less and listen more.
Yeah.
I know that's like such a cliche, but, you know, you got like 2 ears and 1 mouth, so maybe you listen twice as much as you talk. But,
yeah,
you know, to be honest with you, I think that, like, you know, this podcast is literally called Thoughtful Discussions. And when we're in here and we're discussing topics, I think that, you know, anyone who has the ability to listen and digest and, you know, synthesize information is pretty cool. The thing is, that takes time and sometimes practice and effort. It's taken me years to just become a better listener. I think I still have ways to go.
Yeah.
So I would say if there was any piece of advice I had for the younger version of myself, it'd probably be to listen more, talk a little less,
and to it's a great one,
especially the people that I admire and look up to, because I, like I said earlier on the show, all I wanted to do was work at a brewery. I didn't care like where it was or who it was. I was like, I love beer and I love marketing, and if I can bring those together at a brewery, I'll do it. And it took a lot of growing and learning and listening to get there, you know.
Very interesting. Yeah, I would say that's a great point. I would definitely tell myself to slow down and listen more in the earlier years. After 30, I think I started to, and I'm getting better and better at it. But instead of, I always was really proud that I was able to make quick decisions and have them turn out well, which most of them have and continue to do. And the ability to make quick decisions is absolutely a valuable skill. But to have foresight and be able to plan for things years down the line or months down the line, and not just everything just always being off the cuff, is definitely something that I've grown into much more. So that I can appreciate you saying that. That's
cool.
That's amazing. So if people want to find you personally, as well as the brewery and anything else that you're involved in that you want to highlight, where are those places online that people can check out?
It's super easy. It's our website is just tracebloomfield.com, and then our social handle is Trace Brewing, and that's just Trace, T-R-A-C-E Brewing, on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And then as far as me, I mean, you don't have to follow me. I'm just Adam, but I'm Adam Sorma.
Do it, please. It's worthwhile, trust me.
It's just my first initial and last name. So A-S-O-O-R-M-A, A Sorma, on Instagram and Twitter. I use Twitter way more. I guess it's now called X. But I get down with Twitter.
Nice. Okay.
But I'm A Sorma.
I've never really like figured it out. I'm just like, this isn't my medium.
Oh, it's my favorite community.
I'm all in on TikTok.
Dope. I haven't discovered that one yet. That's cool. You're ahead of me there.
Yeah.
But yeah, Trace Brewing and then Ace Orma. And yeah, you know, just shoot us a message if you have questions, or if you're ever going to be coming by and you want to say what's up. I'm there most days of the week.
Yeah, sweet. And let them know you wanted to check it out because you listened on Thoughtful Discussions. That would really mean a lot. And so on my end, you could check us out, Thoughtful Discussions, everywhere on social media, everywhere the podcasts are listened to. If you found anything in this particularly interesting, and you can give it a like, a follow, share, whatever, we appreciate that very much. And if there was someone that it made you think of, I want to encourage you to share it with them, as you know, hopefully the goal of this is, if I could have anything more in the world, it would be more thoughtful discussions. And I've been very fortunate and thankful to bring people on that to highlight different aspects of, whether it's, you know, artists and entrepreneurs and different things around the city. It's been really great. We've actually done a couple episodes in California. We've had people come in from other places. So it's overall, the catalog is growing, and we're going to be recording our 100th episode coming up. So depending on when you're listening to this, it may be, it may be before or after, but definitely check out the 100th episode, because that's going to be, we're going to be recording that one live. So thank you. Just big thank you to everyone that's listening. And we wouldn't be able to do this without that. without each person listening. And it is it's really a wonderful part of our week where we get to slow down and kind of, you know, sit and chat and carve this out of whatever it is that we're doing. So appreciate that. And then personally, the best place to find me is on Instagram, joshsnyder86. And that's Snyder with an I. And from there, you'll be able to find the print shop. You'll be able to find Thoughtful Discussions content, my art, as well as, you know, some family stuff. And the print shop, PGH Printship, is also on there. And pghprintship.com is where you can go to order. And another thing is PGH Museums. And they are a nonprofit that I sit on I'm a volunteer board member for. Nice. And they're like a media company, essentially, but the subject is museums. So there's almost 90 museums in the region, which people probably could name five of. And so we are able to highlight what some of these other museums are and what else is going on. And there's a podcast, and there's an event calendar, and there's a bunch of stuff on there. So definitely encourage you to go check that out. There's a really cool scene of art and music and museums in Pittsburgh, and that's a great resource for a lot of people. So check us out. Thank you again for listening, and we're out.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, thanks for coming on.
Appreciate it. Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely.